Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Focus. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Strange times we're living in at the moment with the virus around the world and people confined to home and families, many families, without too many outlets, not getting out to mass, not getting out to do much of anything, really. So we thought we'd ask about the family praying together in this time and get some ideas about the family praying together from our chaplain, Norbertine priest, Father Hugh Barber. Hi, Father.
Hello.
Now, you've kept up your prayers.
Yeah, we're lucky because people in monasteries, we're doing all the prayers we did before as we have our own church and whatnot. So we're praying for everybody who can't.
Well, I appreciate it. That's I guess that's one of the great monasteries around the world praying all the time.
That's a perk. We have all those prayers from early morning till later at night. And we pray them constantly every day of the year.
So you pray what's, and maybe there's a distinction between these two things. You'll have to tell me what's called the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office.
The same thing.
They're the same thing. Yeah. Okay. So today we could talk a little bit about families possibly making use of the Divine Office.
Okay.
All right.
Good idea.
And so, well, for the first thing I guess I would ask you is, we have this thing now, and I did it. My wife and I and some other people who live in our home on Sunday, we watched the Mass together, did the responses and everything together, and I found it wasn't like going to Mass exactly, but it felt like a very good thing to do on a Sunday. And so I wonder if you could just kind of what's the comparison between, say, watching Mass on TV or if, say, we had taken the time to pray the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office together? Are these things comparable?
Well, in one way they are, and in one way they're not. I mean, I wouldn't want to criticize at all watching a live, especially a live Mass on television, where you're participating with a community at some distance, but it's live. But, of course, if you do some of the Liturgy of the Hours together, it's a liturgy that you yourselves are celebrating. You know, it's actual, it's not virtual, it's really your liturgy.
Yes.
And it's really a liturgical act of the church, because one thing was made very clear in the church's renewal of the office, divine office, or the Liturgy of the Hours, is that although there are persons who are especially deputed and obliged to pray in the form which is found in the Liturgy of the Hours, the hours of the day, like bishops, priests, deacons, monks, nuns, canons, canonesses, and other religious orders that have the obligation of singing together or reciting together the divine office, still anyone else who does that is still performing a liturgical act, even though they're not bound by their way of life to do it, but they are doing the church's liturgy. It's not simply a private prayer.
So it's the Mass one, in a sense, you're watching liturgy. But if you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours together, say you're doing liturgy. So maybe you could define that for me. What is liturgy? What do we mean by the word liturgy?
Well, liturgy means comes from an old Greek word which meant public service, public obligation, and so it was in the church. The Greek word liturgy came to mean the public obligation of the church. What does the church do as her public bounden duty and service?
Right.
It is to offer worship to God according to the sacraments instituted by Christ and the church instituted with those sacraments and the rites which surround those sacraments so that we can receive them properly and for a good effect on our Christian life. So it's actually the church's principal work. So that's why it's called liturgy, because it's a public service, but public service of divine worship.
Okay, so...
And so it's always public, even though it might seem private. You know, like our Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Right.
So when two or three or four or whatever in a family or in a group of friends are praying together the divine office, that is truly an act of the church's public worship. It's not just a private prayer.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
So if I'm praying the Liturgy of the Hours, even say just with my family, then we're doing liturgy. We're doing the public work of the church and worshiping God.
Right.
And if say I'm praying the rosary with 100 people, even though it's more people, it's not the same. It's not liturgical.
Right. It's not part of the church's liturgy. Right. But it's certainly much to be recommended. But right now, 100 people can't get together to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
There you have, for the rosary, the great benefit. The rosary is modeled to a certain extent on liturgical prayer. And next to liturgical prayer, it's the most important. And practically speaking, it's more at hand. That is, it's easier for people to pray the rosary than to do pick up the breviary and figure out how to do the different parts of the divine office.
Yeah, okay.
But that doesn't mean we can't try. You know, you consider how people, they have their computers and they can do, and the kids especially, they can do all kinds of things that are mysteries to me.
Right.
You know, and then they update things continually and they're constantly, you know, able to manage these technicalities, and when something goes wrong, they figure out how to fix it and everything. Everybody knows what to do with their technology. Well, a breviary is not that complicated. I mean, it takes a while for you to get used to it, and then it's very, very simple, so you can practically do it in your sleep. But for a family to pray together, I think the best point, the best way to go about it is for the head of the family, whoever's going to take the lead in this, preferably dad, if dad and mom are together, then to have dad do it, or granddad, and to get the Liturgy of the Hours, to buy a copy of the prayers themselves, or to get it offline. There are actual, you could have the kids help with that. There are apps for phones and everything. There are all kinds of things. All you would have to do is just look in the app section on your phone to Liturgy of the Hours, mm-hmm. in English or in Spanish, Liturgia de las Horas, or in Italian or Latin. They're all there, mm-hmm. and you can, some of them are free, completely free, and you can get the Liturgy of the Hours for that day,
yes.
right there without even have worrying about finding your page in the book or knowing about how the different selections are made.
Yeah.
Although I really recommend getting the book, because it's like using a candle instead of an electric light. You know, it's more
liturgical
in its yeah. tone, you know.
Right.
And so to get something whereby you're going to be familiar with the prayers of the divine office and then adapt it to your circumstances. Maybe if a family is beginning and they're people of various ages, you could keep it very simple. You know, every hour of the divine office or the Liturgy of the Hours has some recitation of the Psalms.
Yes. Okay.
And morning prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer also have an additional canticle that is the canticle of Zechariah, the canticle of Mary in the evening, and the canticle of Simeon at night prayer. So you have the Psalms and the canticle. You could, if you wanted to, you could keep it as simple as praying, making sure you pray those three canticles morning and evening and right before you go to bed.
Oh, and then
you're in the spirit of the Liturgy of the Hours and praying those canticles, Mary's canticles, my soul magnifies the Lord. And you could start with that. And then you might be able then to move on to, well, you could start praying the Psalms. Well, the Psalms are arranged in a 4-week cycle, and there's Psalms for each of the hours of the day. And there's a Psalm for morning prayer, for daytime prayer, and for evening prayer, and also for night prayer. And you could just pray the Psalm for that hour or those Psalms. And then you know, you could just get used to what you do at the Liturgy of the Hours, and then little by little it'll become easy to see how it all fits together.
Mm-hmm.
First, the canticles from the New Testament, which that's like the high point of those hours, just like the Gospel kind of is the high point of the Liturgy of the Word. And then you could move to the Psalms and canticles from the Old Testament mostly, or other parts of the New Testament that are found right there in the breviary, or I call it breviary, but that's the book that has the whole of the Liturgy of the Hours in it, and just do parts of it very simply to begin with, you know, and in that way you recite those Psalms with your children or your family. One side of the room does one part, and then the other side does the other part, and you can divide up the recitation. So, you know, the right hand side starts, and then when there's a break, the left hand side picks it up, and then you go back to the right side and the left side. You do it back and forth,
mm-hmm.
And that kind of keeps a certain level of participation up, you know.
Yes.
And it's very helpful. And also, you would change your posture a little bit. Like, you could start standing and then sit down to do the Psalms,
mm-hmm.
and then stand up again to do the New Testament canticle, because that's from the Gospel, so you stand for it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you conclude with the Our Father, and you have a little kind of mini Vespers. It's the kind of thing you see in a book like Magnificat,
Right.
Or there's other devotionals. Now, it's a very short step from that to just doing the whole thing, because what's left is this a little short reading, and there's a hymn at the beginning, and there's some intercessions. It's not hard once you get a look at it to see the pattern and to do the whole thing just as it's written. But if you already have family prayers that you want to do, you could say, start in the morning with Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. You know, that's the opening psalm of the church's worship every day, called the Venite, the come, the word is to come, let us.
Yeah, yeah.
And start with that, and then have whatever morning prayers that you normally would say that your children are used to or whatever, and then conclude that with the Zachary's Canticle to unite yourself with the morning prayer in the church. And then the same in the evening, some evening prayers, maybe you're going to pray the rosary, but then conclude that with Mary's Magnificat. And, you know, that's one way to do it. And then before bed, whatever bedtime prayer we have, but conclude with the canticle of Simeon. Now that's a minimum, but you're consciously uniting yourself to the church's liturgy.
You're using the basic, the most basic building block on which the thing is built. And you start there.
Right. You have the canticles, the psalms. And then the other things that go along with it, there are verses that begin the office.
Right.
O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's how you end the office. But if you examine this, it doesn't take much. You'll be able to see just how it's done.
Yeah.
And you easily could come to being able to do the whole thing yourself. Those apps that you can get, they often read it out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could follow that a little bit to yourself so you see how it works.
Right.
And that way you'd be in a position to lead it.
Yeah.
But to do it responsively back and forth, that gives it that feeling that it's the church's prayer.
Real,
it's not
right.
just sitting down on the sofa and reciting something all together, which can be kind of, can get more tedious.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
But learn to do the back and forth of the prayer.
Right.
And that, and even you only need two people to do it.
And you know where people have learned to do that already is with the rosary. You know, the first half of the Our Father, the second half of the Our Father, first half of the Hail Mary.
Right.
Second half and the Gloria and Glory. That came from the recitation of the Divine Office.
Right.
But it's easy to get into it, but you just have to take the dive and begin to adapt to it. Or you may want to save the full morning prayer and vespers to Sundays as sort of a special thing you want to do.
Okay, yeah.
There's going to be a little more solemn on Sunday than on the weekdays. But you're free to do whatever you want to accommodate it to what you already have practiced. Because the point is not to deprive people of the devotional things that they ordinarily do, but to bring them into the church's prayer as it's prayed in monasteries and cathedral churches and hermitages and all over the world.
Yeah. It strikes me that there the two effects of this of praying the liturgy of the hours are just that. First of all, you begin to participate with a world that's praying. I mean, all around the world, the priests, sisters, monks, but many lay people as well, deacons are praying this, and
people in movements,
and it's been going on for 1,000 years or longer than
since the New Testament, because this comes from the Jewish tradition. They would go to the temple to pray at the ninth and at the third and the sixth and the ninth hours.
Yeah.
And that's roughly equivalent to our mid-morning, midday, mid-afternoon prayer, which are called daytime prayer. You know, that was already there. And then there's also reference to praying at midnight. I mean, where did the Muslims get this five times a day? They got it by imitating the Jews and Christians of their own time.
Right. Muhammad was familiar with the monks and the monasteries.
We had seven, the Jews had three, so they came up with five.
Yeah. But let's split the difference.
But they imitated that, and they're still faithful to it.
Yeah.
And it's for, and then very clearly, Liturgy of the Hours indicates that it's for the sanctification of time, to bring the eternal truths and the words of sacred scripture, inspired and powerful, into our the passage of our days.
Yeah. Right?
And then also with that, marking the different feast days of the church year that come up and are celebrated within the Liturgy of the Hours.
Well, that's what that was the second thing. So the first being, you are in this almost like river of prayer. You're now in this river of prayer that the church has been doing for thousands
forever,
of years. But not only are you in this river of prayer, but now your time of your day is marked differently. And in the time of this virus, I noticed that there's a lot of secular kind of psychologists and what giving it advice. And one of the regular pieces of advice is, look, get up and take your shower the same time you do every day. Just keep your schedule. You're much less likely to experience depression and anxiety.
Right, exactly.
But this is something that's like that, but it's on the supernatural level. It's on the level of there's something very common sense about just marking hours, keeping a schedule day after day that orients you in a way to the world. It anchors you in a
Absolutely.
Way to the world
and
time.
And the liturgy very much sanctifies time, not just the day, but also the seasons of the year and the whole passage of the year.
Right.
It's very important. That's a key way to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. There's some other simple ways to do it, to simplify it. For example, you could take the volume of the Liturgy of the Hours for Lent and Easter, and you could take the offices which are given for Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, and just pray those as a devotion all the days of this Passiontide into Easter. You could pray the Passion office, like the Good Friday office, you could pray that every day as a devotion.
Yeah. It's funny when you say it, you seem flexible about it. I mean, there's a certain way in which I guess we can be kind of rigid. What am I supposed to be doing today? What's on the schedule?
Well, I mean, that you might say is an ideal liturgically, but there's also the practice, and the church had it for many, of little offices, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there is the little office of Our Lady. There's an office of Our Lady that people sometimes pray in place of the big Liturgy of the Hours, but it's structured exactly the same way with the same hours.
Oh, okay.
There's also an office for the dead, for the souls of the departed, that's also structured in that way. And so you could always, as a default, just pray the office of Our Lady or pray some parts of that or of the dead. And that's also in the back of the Liturgy of the Hours, the Common of the Blessed Virgin or the office for the dead. But I think at this time too, if you're new to the Breviary, say in the time that we're talking, you order one, if Amazon is still delivering those things, you order one or you get it online because you can get it online easily. And you see, all right, here's the office of Holy Thursday, Vespers of Holy Thursday, the office of Good Friday with Vespers of Good Friday. And that's very interesting, because this year you have opportunity, because Vespers of Good Friday and Holy Thursday are normally never prayed because you have the evening service. And it's prayed only by those who can't get to the evening service. So now that means practically everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
And so the church does actually have for you something you can do in place of the Holy Thursday Mass and the Good Friday service, and that is, there's a special Vespers on the Thursday of Holy Week and the Friday of Holy Week, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, that are meant to be prayed by people who can't be there. That's an example. So you could be meditating on the Passion and reading the whole thing all the way through, and doing that if you're not in the mood to acquaint yourself with all the details just yet. You know, you could keep it simple because it's all on one page. You don't have to turn too much. You know, that
yes.
can be helpful. So because the main thing is you don't want people to get disheartened when they start praying the Liturgy of the Hours because it seems more complicated
Complex.
Than what they're used to.
Right.
And it's really not. And so, but we can start easily and use what parts we can and conform ourselves to what the church is praying at the moment. That's one of the great spiritual writer, Gergou Lagrange, says that the inspiration to pray in union with the spirit of the liturgy of the particular season you're in is always an inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Ah, yeah.
It's always a good thing, because those graces or those mysteries is really being bestowed at that time. So that's something one can do. Little Office of Our Lady, Office of the Dead, those are, you can get the Little Office of Our Lady separately. You can order that, so-called Little Office of Our Lady, or the Office of the Dead is in the back of the Breviary. Pray for the departed. They're beautiful psalms that, you know, make you really think about, you know, the last things, but in a way which is consoling and strengthening for our souls.
Right.
And then, of course, the Triduum, the last 3 days of Holy Week, that's all in there too. And you could just set yourself to praying some of those.
Yeah.
And it could help you an awful lot.
So it seemed like that first idea that you had about just starting with the canticles, the three canticles. Mm-hmm. If you had very small children, if you're a family with little kids, you can read the canticle to start the day. And then, so what are the hours for those?
That's morning. That's the canticle of Zechariah. Blessed be the God of Israel. They're all from Luke, right? From the first part of Luke's gospel.
Yeah.
So blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed his people. That's Zechariah. And then the canticle of Mary, that's Mary with the angel Gabriel. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And then there is Simeon, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word. That's night. And those are the three canticles for the New Testament that are always prayed in the Liturgy of the Hours.
Now, when you in the monastery pray the hours, how many of those hours of the day are you all together praying?
There's seven of them.
And
in addition to Mass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So could somebody who say, you know, you got your work day, you're living a secular life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe modify that to two, like just right. Do morning and night.
Morning and evening prayer are the most important. Those two
morning and evening. But evening is what time?
That's anywhere from four to when you go to. Well, the night prayer is for when, right before you're going to bed.
Yeah.
So normally vespers or evening prayer is around between five and seven. You know, and then you say the night prayer when you're right before you're going to bed, and that can even be after midnight. If it needs to be. You can choose to pray as much or as little of the Divine Office as is convenient for you. I haven't talked about the liturgy of the Office of Readings, which could be your share in the Divine Office too, just doing that one Office of Readings, which has longer readings according to the season and the feast day.
What is the Office of Readings?
That's what used to be called Matins. And it was usually done in the morning, but now it can be done any time of the day.
Okay.
And it consists of, the usual opening a hymn and three psalms, and then a reading from the Old or New Testaments.
Yep.
And with a responsory after it, a little chant after it, and then a reading from the Fathers of the Church, and then a concluding prayer. And that's one that a lot of people find simpler just to do that, because it gives them material for meditation, because it's a nice reading from one of the Fathers of the Church.
Yep.
And that helps them. But that's more on the level of a private meditation.
I see.
Or for older people. I don't know if the little children are going to want to sit still for, you know, listening to St. Ambrose. Maybe they will.
That's an awfully good little kid if he does.
Right. But the important thing here is that in the Christian liturgy, we are praying in union with Christ, our head. Our Lord Jesus prayed these psalms while he was on earth, prayed these very prayers. Our Lady prayed these very prayers. The psalms were practically the prayer book of the Jews. And so consequently, it draws us very close to him. And our understanding of the psalms, we understand the psalms as a prayer of Christ, our head, the head of the mystical body, and also of us, his members. And so there's some things in the psalms that where the voice is the voice of Christ speaking, and then there are other things where it's the voice of his body speaking.
Yeah.
And we can consider that we're always involving ourselves with the whole Christ, head and members, when we pray the Psalter and the Divine Office. Yeah. So it's very powerful in that regard.
Do you have of your own preferences, an English, a version in English that you particularly like, or do you think just get one?
Well, there's the official one. They're only the official ones. So if you want to do just Vespers and Lauds, that is morning prayer and evening prayer, a good thing to get is the so-called Mundelein Psalter. That's what we use here at Catholic Answers in the chapel.
Yeah.
The Mundelein Psalter that has just morning prayer and evening prayer, and it has a little music too if you're musically inclined, but that's very handy, and it has the hymns and everything. But there's another shortened version of the Liturgy of the Hours called Christian Prayer that has liturgy of the morning prayer and evening prayer for every day as well, and it has also the night prayer in it. That's one of the benefits of that particular book. Or you can get the whole four-volume breviary, but they're all the same version approved for use in the United States and several other countries. Now, the British and the Canadians, they have a breviary also, which you're perfectly free to use, and you can buy that too from the Catholic Truth Society in London. But it is it's not usually used in public celebrations in this country, but you're perfectly free to use it. I know priests who use it instead of the American one because they like some of the translations better. But it just depends.
Okay.
And of course, you can always pray it in Latin, you can pray it in Spanish, you can pray it in Italian, any language you have the use of.
And I have, myself, I have Laudate on my phone, But there, I know there are other ones. You can just go to your app store and see what they've got.
Right. They got all those things. And we didn't even, we're not even talking about the traditional office, the pre-conciliar office, which is available online very easily, and the books are all out, and it's also in some ways easier to pray than the new office, in some ways more complicated. But it's also one where you could easily have that part of your family's devotion.
Is it Latin or it's in English?
Well, there's an English edition too.
Oh.
You can get an English edition.
Okay.
There's a bilingual English edition. I think it's Baronius Press, I think, but there may be others. But often people are using the traditional liturgy, they'll pray prime, that's the morning prayer that's kind of fixed, and compline, that's an evening prayer, a night prayer that's kind of fixed, and they just do those two parts of the office and don't do the rest of it. But that's what they did in seminaries too sometimes before they had the obligation of the whole office. But there are the various ways to take access to that, but the main thing is to get into the idea of praying together and out loud the psalms of the sacred scriptures, the psalms prayed by our Lord and the church from the rising of the sun to the setting all over the world. And to love those prayers, which our Lord himself loved and inspired in the heart of King David and the other authors of the Psalter, and inspired in the heart of Zachary and of Simeon, but most especially his blessed mother.
So I feel like you've made it accessible. To jump into it right at the beginning, but especially with the ribbons and the turning pages and all of it, it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. There's a learning curve to it, but you're saying build.
Yeah, but
take
if you can just figure out what week of the Psalter you're in, week one, week two, three, week four. Once you know that, you go to the day of the week, and then you have the morning prayer psalms and the evening prayer psalms, and if you combine that with the canticle that goes with that time of day. The canticle of Zechariah in the morning, canticle of Mary, Our Lady in the evening, and then before bed, the canticle of Simeon. Then you've got kind of an outline of what you're supposed to be doing, and then the rest you can kind of just tidy it up.
All right, yeah. and you're doing liturgy when you do this.
You are doing it. Yes,
you're doing the work of the church.
Yes.
Father Hugh Barber, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
And you as well. Thank you. And all your brother priests up there. I hope we're all hoping everybody just stay well.
Stay well.
A few more weeks.
Absolutely.
We'll get through this.
Let's hope so.
I mean,
really and truly, I think we should have great confidence.
And thank you to all of our listeners who join us here each week on Catholic Answers Focus. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Please don't forget, maybe it's not a matter of forgetting. Maybe you haven't thought about doing it yet. Maybe you would be willing to give us a 5-star review where you get your podcast, and also write a little something to encourage other people to listen to Focus, because as I'll be quite honest with you, we're trying to grow the podcast. We'd like more people to know about it and more people to make use of it. We're glad we get to do it and spend some time with people like Father Hugh Barber. We'll see you next time, right here, God willing, on Catholic Answers Focus.
God bless.